I wish I'd been with the people I loved on the day the world changed. Then again, if someone had said, "Hey, Tess, reality as you know it is about to be turned upside down. You should probably witness this moment with someone you care about. Anybody fit that bill?" I would have barked out a bitter laugh and told them I'd rather be alone, which, as it turns out, I was. The meteor shower was all over the news. CNN covered it nonstop in the hours before it was visible, bringing on astronomers and astrophysicists to explain why it was such a big deal for a meteor shower of this size to be happening in the middle of January. Apparently, our scientists were supposed to be able to predict this kind of thing. The fact that one had snuck up on our collective set of observatories and satellites was, to quote one NASA representative, extraordinary. I didn't care if it was unprecedented. I didn't care if people around the world were calling it a sign or a portent of the second coming or whatever. I just knew it was beautiful, and I wanted to see one more beautiful thing before I died. The trick was explaining that to the floor nurse. "Miss McBray, please go back to your room." Nurse Davies crossed her beefy arms over her chest and planted her white-sneakered feet to the floor. "We've been over this before. You're in no condition to leave." "How do you know?" I growled. "Nobody here can even tell me what my condition is." I shifted the weight of my duffel bag on my shoulder and leaned to the left, craning my neck to gauge the distance between Davies and the elevators. Only a few dozen yards. Sure, she towered over me. Sure, in the month I'd been in the hospital, my body had wasted away to little more than a skin-wrapped skeleton. But I might be able to make a run for it. Davies shook her head.
"Do you think you're going to find the answers out there?"
"Maybe. I don't really care." She glared at me, and I knew exactly what she was thinking. It was the same thing she'd spat at me every time I'd fought against the IV or questioned the contents of the murky soup they forced me to eat, or requested and then repeatedly demanded to have my comic book collection brought into the hospital. And just when I began to worry she'd disappoint me by refusing to lean on her catchphrase, she said it.
"Stop being so melodramatic."
I actually grinned, and Davies flushed. I'd started drawing a comic book 2 weeks ago. It was sort of a play on the classic cat versus mouse theme where an adorable blonde mouse outsmarted an angry old goose dressed in polka dot scrubs. I taped the sketches up all over my room, and the orderlies liked to come in and read about the latest adventures of Grouchy Goose and Melodrama Mouse. Davies was not a fan.
"You're being ridiculous. You had the good sense to check yourself in here," she said. "Now please have the sense to stay."
"You know what, Davies? You're right." I straightened up. This old hag had been bossing me around for so long I'd forgotten who was really in charge here. "I came here on my own." She lifted one eyebrow, but her frown, so ever-present it could have been tattooed on, deepened.
"And?"
"And I'm an adult. I checked myself in here and I'm not contagious. Now, I'd like to check myself out."
"Miss McBray, Dr. Fredericks feels he's quite close to a breakthrough. He's been working with the team at the CDC. If you'd just let him run some more tests."
"No, I'm done with tests." Pulling my shoulders back, I raised my voice, projecting all the way across the waiting room that sat on the other side of Davies' desk.
"I'd like to check myself out, please."
Several people turned their heads to cast curious glances in our direction. That's it, I thought. Enjoy the show. Davies stared at me, her jaw set into a hard line. I stared right back. Minutes ticked by, while news coverage of the meteor shower played on the televisions in the waiting room. My eyes began to water, but I refused to surrender. She gave in first, blinking and huffing out through her nose.
"I can't stop you, Tess,"